If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
You know, when you first get married, you go through that stage of the breaking in stage. Now, the breaking in stage is when you are not very clear on your purpose and your connection. You're not very clear. So there'll be the tendency to, you know, cover yourself up more often, and, you know, you kind of walk on eggshells, so to speak, you know, because you know who you are. But you don't really want them to know just yet because you don't want to scare them or whatever. And so, ladies, you know, young brides, they lotion themselves up, and they brush their hair, and, you know, they put on just a little light makeup that doesn't come off on your pillow because you don't want him to see what you've been accustomed to seeing for the past 20-some-odd years. All right, and that goes with men are the same way. You know, they cover up their shirt, they walk around the house sucking in their stomach, you know. They do that because they don't want her to see immediately that, you know, you don't have a six-pack, you got a keg. And they don't want her to see that. So they're kind of, you know, then she gets up when she cooks breakfast. You know, in the early days, it's on china. You're drinking out of wine glasses, just water. She's got silver on the table with napkins. And this is in the first few months, you know. And you know, you come down and you got to leave for work at 5. She gets up at 4. And you hear she's walking in the slippers very quietly trying to negotiate the kitchen. And she's humming and anticipating. And when you come downstairs, it's like, there go my baby. There go my baby. You look so good, because what you're doing is you're sending out your representative, all right? And then later on, you know, around five years, it starts changing, you know? Then, you know, it's who you really are, the you that you're accustomed to. Why? Because you figure that this amount of time and familiarity, you should be okay. So now the man goes around and he just, you know, it's just out there, you know, hitting the floor when he walks. It's just there. And you know, the hair is nappy, and the breath is, you know, all the things going on. What is that saying? Well, and then in the marriage, at some point, you'll use this phrase, we are used to each other. Now, that's not a bad thing. But when it comes to God, that's why God has to keep doing new stuff so you don't get used to him. See, we're just used to God waking us up and starting us on our way. We're not used to trouble right away. So God says, let me send a trial at 6 o'clock in the morning so they know that I never sleep. Let me send an issue and they have to call on me during the course of the day so they'll know I never slumber. Let me send a need because they're getting too comfortable in their job and their salary. So let me have them lose that job so that I can step in and become their provider so they'll know that my money never runs out. Let me send them through a furnace of affliction and trouble and cause all their friends to turn on them and leave them alone so they'll know I'm the God that picks them up. And when you are restored to the knowledge of how great he is, he said, now I can start giving you back the other stuff because you won't take me for granted. And what you'll do is every time you get your paycheck, you'll say, thank you, Lord. And every time you come through a situation, you'll say, thank you, Lord. You'll be giving God the praise because he's making you one. When you leave the altar with the officiant, you are not one. They may erroneously say, I now pronounce you one. No, you are not one. You're not one until sexual intimacy takes place, the joining of soul to soul. But you walk out with the legal right to become one. And then the consistency of that action causes you to become one on a soulish level. That's why the longer you spend time with your spouse, you start feeling what they feel. You anticipate words. You start, why? Because their soulish connection is becoming yours. It is the transference of the soul that makes the two of you unique. That's why Jesus said, when you break off and sleep with somebody else, you have interrupted your soul connection, and you become one with that person, and you busted up the oneness with your spouse. And he said, that's why you're able to get divorced, because you're not one anymore. And that's why Paul tries to teach sexual purity, because when you sleep all around, you become one with all the people you sleep with. And so parts of you are in West Philly, South Philly, West Oak Lane, Jersey, wherever. Parts of you are in the back of a car, in the Holiday Inn. Parts of you are all over the place. And so when you finally get married, you're not giving that person all of you. You're giving them what's left. That's what happened to us in our oneness with Christ. We've been so bruised, so wounded, so distrusting of people that when God brings you into the body of Christ, some of you would actually like to be saved on your own. Because you make phrases, use phrases such as, I don't need nobody but Jesus. You a lie. You need me and I need you. And we need each other. And if that were not true, God would not have put the one anothering in Scripture. When I'm down and can't lift myself, I've got to have somebody in the body lift me. That's why you ever notice that when certain people go to praising God, it energizes you? You ever notice that? And nobody knows that you're down but you and God, and God will have that person jump up, and then you'll say, I felt something, because they are one with you, and they are standing in your gap, and the pain that you're experiencing, God is using them to rid you of your pain. Father, make them one. 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 If you understand, if you understand how God moves, listen carefully. With the exception of your family that's sitting next to you, if you understand how God moves, you are sitting exactly where he wants you, next to the person he wants you to sit. You might sit there saying, boy, this person is dry, and I don't know why I'm sitting here. Because you're on fire. Why would he put you next to a fire pit? God's going to put you next to that dry person so you can say, come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. At the very least, you'll get him mad and make a move. Come on, give him praise. You ought to praise him. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that something? Didn't the past? Whoa, yes. Did you? Will you? Whoa. God told you to sit next to that person. And you wondering, why am I next to this dead person? Because you're alive. Every time you jump up and give God a shout, it's provoking them. And the next thing you know, they're going to be up giving God a shout, because praise is contagious. Make them one. 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 How? A new commandment I give you, John 13:34, that you love one another. Here's what happens. We become weary in love. We become weary in love. Same way in your marriages and your relationships. You become weary in love. You really do. And that's why you get to the point where you say, we need a marriage retreat. We need something to stir up our love. You know, people ask, you know, if you've been married a long time, they say, well, what you do to keep it exciting? You really don't have an answer for them. So usually you just lie. You say, child, well, here's what you do. And you know it ain't true, because you really don't do anything. Because the longevity of marriage doesn't necessarily mean you got a secret pill. It just means you get up and go to bed, get up and go to bed, and the days just keep running. People say, Pastor, what you do to keep your marriage fresh? Refrigerate it. Just like I do bread, just refrigerate it. Just leave it on the table to get moldy. Put it in the refrigerator, stay fresh. See, what you want to hear is, yeah, once a week we put candles on the table. If I put candles on the table, I'm going to think the power's out. And you've been deluded into all this foolishness, child. Going down to Shelton Avenue, up around Wayne and Shelton, there's an oil store there. Just go in and buy some cinnamon oil and rub it all on his back. And make sure you heat it first. Yeah, right. It'd be terrible if you put oil on him and find out that he's allergic to what's in the oil. Now he broke out in the hives. There ain't gonna be no hanky-panky now here. And so you're looking for all these ways to make it nice. You're buying books and going up the Victoria's Secret and all that other foolishness. And that ain't what keeps it fresh. It doesn't stay fresh. It gets stale. It's repetitious. And preachers love to get up in front of you, child. She's the seasoning on my greens, the butter on my grits. She's the whipped cream on my banana split. And all that stuff is bad for you. You ever wonder why he never says she's my vitamin E? She's my vitamin C. She's butter. She clogs my arteries. She's seasoning. She makes me have high blood pressure. There is no magic pill. It's just getting along. It's just making up in your mind that we're married and that's it. That's it. Now, I'll use a term, and many of you will be offended, but I've got the mic. You're stuck.
No, I ain't. No, I ain't.
You're stuck. But because of our thinking, we think that's a negative. There's nothing wrong with being stuck when it's with a good sticky. We were stuck in Disney World after 9/11. We were stuck there because no planes were coming in and out. They weren't flying over the entire continental United States. We were stuck in Disney World. I said, ain't nothing to it but to do it. The parks were virtually empty. We had a ball because some places you don't mind being stuck. Listen to this. You're stuck with God. Now, hold on. Even if you walk away, he gonna follow you. He's not gonna sit there. God wrote that song, I know you wanna leave me, but I refuse to let you go. He said, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. That even means you. You can't even walk away because God will hunt you down like Dog the Bounty Hunter. God will find you. He'll come into the bar and he'll stand next to you and he ain't gonna tell you you're going to hell. He'll say, don't you remember when I kept you when everybody else walked away? Don't you remember how much I loved you? He'll take you to Romans 8. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, I'm stuck.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14. Which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.